All right, guys, welcome to the fucking Bad Credit. You know that's going to sound like shit. Welcome to the Bad Credit Podcast. We're here in Sam's apartment, back in the old studio number probably
two.
Is it?
Yeah, because I was in Memphis, you were in Murfreesboro, and then, no, and three, then we were in Murfreesboro. Oh, yeah, this is number three. Yeah, number three. Yeah, number
back
three.
In the old third studio, but we only got a phone, man, and you know what? We're trying to do these podcasts, and shit, you might hear a few of them on the damn phone, because our lives are hectic.
Here's a question I got for you. If you went to a beach, do you think it's acceptable to not be barefoot while on a beach? Like, do you think it's acceptable to wear tennis shoes on a beach?
Depends on the situation. Why do you ask?
I'm just wondering. Like, so if I went on vacation and I was on a beach, like most people go to the ocean and some people never put their feet in the ocean. And I was listening to something not too long ago where somebody was like, yeah, like I think it's okay to wear socks on the beach. And I'm like, that's not okay. But
I can see a situation where you'd want to wear socks on the beach. If your feet hurt or something.
I guess that's just kind
of
weird.
Like day six of being down there.
I guess that's kind of weird to me. Like, usually, if you go to a beach, there's a few things that you have to do. Obviously, putting your if you're in an ocean that you've never been to before, you should put your feet in the ocean. That should automatically happen. And then, B, obviously.
Wait, who are you talking to? Who said this?
No, I don't know. I've heard something somewhere where somebody was talking about socks on the beach. And this made me think about things that you have to do when you go to the beach.
Okay, anyway, I'm sorry.
So, all right, so when you go to the beach, this is the thing you have to do. The beach, like, so whenever I went to California, I made sure that I, like, went to the Santa Monica Pier. I put my feet in the Pacific because I'd never been there.
Was the water colder?
It was cold. I don't know if it's colder, but, I mean, whenever I went, so every time, I mean, obviously I've been to Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, we went there together.
So, I've had my feet in that ocean. But if I went to the Indian Ocean, I mean, I'm going to put my feet in it. Like, I feel like you should automatically try to get in every ocean that you go to. That
damn
should be a given.
Right, boy. If I went to the Indian Ocean, I'd have me some curry.
See, that's racist. But I feel like that's just kind of something that has to happen if you go to the beach on vacation. I got a friend of mine that wants to go out to Vegas in May.
Who, but Jordan? Justin?
Christian.
Christian.
The only thing is a Vegas vacation, I'm nervous of because I feel like that I need to have a lot of, like, money stacked
shit,
up.
Shit, I need me about 25K. I'm finna go out there.
I only 25, but I think I would need at least, like, two. At least.
Dude, that's it. Yeah, you need way more than that. Come on, dude. I'm not going out there without $10,000.
I guess. It depends on what kind of game I'm going to do. Like, obviously, I'm not going to play those kind of stakes like you're trying to play out there. But I do want to experience Vegas for Vegas. So, that makes it tough. I don't understand how people can vape. Like, I talk to a lot of handicappers and stuff that are out there all the time. And they make it seem like that they are able to kind of get away with, like, minimum lifestyle out there. But then I also listened to a podcast where a bunch of handicappers and sports bettors talked about how, like, the reason they're able to get by so much and make it is because they have people that kind of back them, plus they live off, plus they get food stamps.
Well, I have two friends from the poker world who moved out there 2 or 3 years ago, and you know, they both play. They're one was a poker dealer around here. The other's like a fucking, I don't know what the fuck he did. He does a lot of fucking hustling shit. You know what I mean? But they both went out there and had to get, you know, regular ass jobs, and they play poker. But it's not, the thing is everyone wants to make a living doing that, and that's like fucking stupid. Like, it's like, I've done it. Two separate times in my life, I didn't have a job and I only played poker. You know what I'm saying? It was the most stressful thing I ever did in my entire life. And your shit runs out eventually. Like, you just can't help it. Because you need another source of income to support your gambling.
Right.
You can win doing it, but when you're just depending on that, you better have a fucking deep, deep, deep bankroll. You know what I mean? Like, if you're playing 1-2 stakes, that's normal ass stakes for us because we have jobs, you know, right. And it's no big deal. If we lose 300 on a night,
it happens.
It's no big deal. But if you're just trying to do that, you need to have like $30,000 just dedicated to that one game. So if you go on the worst losing streak you ever heard of in your life, you'll still have enough money. And that's right. The thing. People try to go out there underrolled and you're going to fuck up. Like, you're going to lose eventually, you know?
Yeah, that's what I don't understand, how people are able to actually do that. Because I feel like that, I mean, I don't know, I'm speaking for myself. I feel like some people's downswings are higher than their upswings. But maybe that's just me talking. Like, I haven't, like, talked to enough people. I have never talked to anybody that only does that for just a living. That's all they do, blah, 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 another. But I feel like that once you go down, so obviously, this year, 2019, has been like the year of the degenerate when it comes to me. Like, I've never gambled more than this. I never had more content surrounded by anything more than like gambling right now. So it's hard for me because I'm thinking in my head, whenever I get in a certain situation where like I'm like, all right, I'm about to be down my max amount. Like, and obviously me being down my max amount, I don't want anybody to get too confused. Me being down my max amount is small fry compared to like some of the people that I know that can lose a certain amount a week. Like, I set myself a limit to where like I'm still going to be able to live my life if I lose what I lose. I get it. But whenever I get down a certain amount, I catch myself trying to go in catch up mode. And that's the hardest thing in the world. When you get in catch up mode, I feel like it would be hard. And I feel like the same would apply to those people that want to do like, want to be handicappers and bet on sports for a living, or they want to be poker players and they get themselves in certain situations. A lot of gamblers, I don't think, would know how to take the loss as a loss for the week and kind of regroup and come back
later.
That's
the thing about, here's the key in poker, and you can take this principle into any aspect of gambling, but in poker specifically, you should quit very soon when you're losing, and you should play until you can't hold your eyes open anymore when you're winning. You know what I mean? Like, you might be like, oh shit, I'm up 500, man, I could go have a good night. But obviously there's a reason you're up in this game, and it's probably because you might be the best player in the room. Everyone else is stupid. I mean, if it's just a luck thing and you suck at poker and you're up, then get the fuck out of there and probably quit playing. You right. know what I mean? Right. Like, ever again, don't play. But if you're a good poker player and you're having a good day, you should play until the game breaks, you know? And if you're a good poker player and you've lost two buy-ins, it just probably ain't your day and you need to get the fuck out of there and go home.
Right.
Because there will be better games, you know? I played poker last Saturday and I made $440. First time I played since July 3rd of this year.
Right.
And it was so awesome. I was refreshed. I've not been at a poker table. I've not thought about a card. Right. You know what I mean? Like, right. I was able to sit down at the table, see everything so clearly, not clouded up by last week's session or yesterday's session. You know what I mean? I was freshly rested, and I just played well. I didn't play a lot of hands pre-flop. I fucking was having conversation with Big Dave. He was out there. I hadn't seen him in a while. Right. And for you guys, Big Dave's like, you know, I kind of look at him as like an uncle or something. You know what I mean? He's a cool dude. Older guy.
Consistent poker player.
But here's the thing that I was talking to Sporty about this the other day, was that I want to keep it that frequently. I'm going to play again this Saturday, but I don't want to play more than once a week. Like, really ever again in my life. I don't want to play more than once a week because right. I've done every single night. And you know what happens is I win, and then I lose, and then like I just fucking give everything I have away. Right. I've gone all the way broke 3 times in my life to where I owe people more money than I have. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's not a place I ever want to go back to. I'm good. Like, I'm a good poker player, but you can cloud your mind by playing too much, and you can cloud your mind by getting involved in that lifestyle. It's a whole lifestyle.
Right.
There's degenerates out there.
Right. And I need people to understand what it is whenever we, like, obviously we laugh whenever we talk about it, but I need people to understand something. Whenever you actually get, when you go full degenerate and you actually are playing with money that would put you in a spot. You're playing with money that essentially you just don't have. Like when you get this, I want there's something that people need to understand because people are just like, well, just don't do it. Listen, when you get to a certain point, the betting that you do with money that you don't have, the rush that you get from that is a hell of a lot better than the rush that you get whenever you're up. Yeah, when you're up, like a bet doesn't have the same effect of whenever you're like trying to bet with something. You're like, if I lose this, it's gonna be fucking rough. Like when you're like sweating out a bet, like people need to understand the endorphins that get released whenever you place a bet for something that you're just like, I really don't need to fucking lose this. Like when that happens, it's a hell of a lot harder than whenever you're up. When I was up 1,200 like 3 weeks ago, and I was like betting $100 on like some stupid shit for a quarterback throw two touchdowns, I was like, well, if I lose it, who gives a fuck? But whenever I was down, and I was trying to get out of the hole, and I was like, I need fucking wait. When Deshaun Watson was playing and losing his ass to who they lose to last week? The Bengals
Broncos.
Broncos. When he was losing his ass to the Broncos, and I knew they were going to lose the game, I was like, as long as he throws two touchdowns. And they get inside the 10, and he runs it in with less than a minute to go.
Is this the sports podcast or is this the regular?
It's the regular podcast.
Okay.
I'm just talking about gambling. But the emotion that comes out of somebody in that situation will be a lot greater than if I was just like, well, who gives a fuck? All right, I'm up 1,100. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's so much different. So whenever you're like, oh, God, like, all right, I won't pay my car payment. I'll pay the bookie. Like, that, like, it's a hell of a... People think that it's just an activity. Sometimes it's, like, serious for people when it comes to gambling. And most people that hear this or that'll listen to this aren't true degenerates. They just think they like to gamble for fun.
Well,
the
thing is I don't want to really encourage anyone to get into that lifestyle.
Oh, of course not.
I think you should have fun with it and put what you can on it. But what you're talking about right there, listen how exciting my Sunday started off. I put $100 on a 3-team money line parlay.
Right.
Broncos plus like 325, whatever, I don't know. The Bengals to beat the Browns, again, plus 3-something. And then the Giants to beat Philly, right?
Yep.
100 to win 7,200.
Oh, gross.
Did I start off
with... Wait. 100 to win...
62, like 65.
Do you guys hear that bet? Now, I want everybody to look up what happened in all the... He's going to tell you, obviously, but think about that bet when you hit submit and you see that number. And then, obviously...
But if you can remember how it played out, the Broncos beat the fuck out of Houston. Yep. And that's the first thing I'm seeing waking up on Sunday afternoon. And then I'm watching, as that's happening, I'm watching closely the Bengals take it to the Browns.
Right.
And I'm already thinking, all right, how can I hedge this game? Philly is minus 400, so... I gotta hedge it. I gotta bet on Philly, but if I bet 200, that's 800. That's gonna take. All right, that's gonna take. Let's see. If I do 2,000, you know what I mean. But that's 8,000. That's too much. You know, I'm trying to think. What's the right number to hedge?
Right.
1,000's 4,000. So that's somewhere I should probably do about 1,000. But I'm like, I don't know though. I need to stay. It was so. But then the fucking Bengals lose.
Of course.
And so I'm like, ah, oh, damn.
So it already screwed it up.
So it didn't matter. But how
they had it the whole game.
But here's the thing. And I was talking to this about, was that you?
Yes, man.
No, not the phone.
Oh, no, you told me about the Bengals.
No, but was I talking to you about this? What's more exciting? Yeah, it was you.
Yeah.
It's more exciting to feel that rush and to imagine the possibility than if I would have actually won the 7,200 – we probably wouldn't even be talking about it right now.
No.
I mean, we would. I'd be like, oh, cool, I won 7,200.
Right.
But it would be over. You know what I mean? But before I won it.
We're going to talk about it on the podcast. But
before I won it, I was like, ooh.
Right. 7,200.
And I was so excited. Right.
That's
it's
the
a
reason.
Rush, dude.
So obviously, I've been using the Action app. Action app sponsored a pod. But so, like, obviously, I've been using that to, like, track bets. So whenever I get the notification on my phone when my action started, I get so, I'm like, all right, let's fucking go. Like, you get fired up about it, and you're, like, watching everything. Every score, it goes off, tells you everything that's going on, tells you, it, like.
Oh, it so gives, it gives you, like, notifications, yeah, like, when your team, like,
if
you,
if you're
shit,
missing it, it gives you, like, the little emoji with the sweat. And then if you're, like, pushing, it gives you the shrug. And if you're hitting, it gives you the thumbs up.
Oh, I gotta
and,
download
like,
that.
It gets you so fired up the whole way. You're like, come on, come on, come on.
How long does it take to add that in? Like, add in your,
It's easy. It's easy. You just hit plus. And you just hit like the little ad thing.
It just seems like it's a lot of fucking energy.
I thought so too. But like, dude, I'm so addicted to like adding my shit in because of the stats too. Like,
can you not like connect it to whatever betting site you use and make it automatically do it?
You can't. Like, you have to like type in what you have just because it's just kind of how it is. But like, it's like when that stuff hits, man. Like when you plug in everything, you know you got everything going for the day, and it's tracking it all for you. Like, there's no bigger rush than, like, knowing exactly what's going on. But then after you hit, like, when I hit, like, a $600 parlay, I'm just like, fuck, hey, I hit that. Like, that's cool.
But it's
like,
not enough. Then you got to bet again.
Yeah.
That's what sucks about sports betting. And I'll tell you that I've never gotten – I do sports bet, right? But I've never gotten really that emotionally into it. Like, I do it just because a lot of times – and, you know, baby, if you're listening, I love you. But a lot of times on Sundays or Saturdays, I'm just hanging out with her and her family or whatever, and right. I'm, you know.
I need something to do, and I'm just like, okay.
You know, this is gonna be the fun little thing in the background for the day. But I never get like, fuck, I got 500 on fucking Kansas City, and I got. Well, actually, it's funny. That's funny that that came to my mind because when Titans play Kansas City, I bet 500.
Yeah, and then
I had to sit there and watch that game with my dad and my grandma, and they're like, this is great that Tennessee's beating Kansas. And finally, I couldn't take it anymore, and I was like, no, it's not! I put $500 on Kansas City. Yeah. And my dad understood what I was saying. My grrandma didn't even fucking know. Yeah, she's like, what?
Yeah.
And she didn't even hear me, but it was so miserable.
Oh, dude.
I will never, ever bet against the Titans again in my life.
Yeah, I mean, I don't bet the Titans games, period, unless I bet for them because they are the hometown team, so you want them to win.
Oh, I will bet with them, but I'll never bet against them.
Yeah. It's so counterproductive.
The thing it does to my insides is terrible.
Yeah, because you're like, let's go! And then you're like, ugh.
I'm 0-2 against the Titans betting. The first time was back in 2016, when Will was sleeping on my couch in my one-bedroom apartment. We lived together for like 6 months in a one-bedroom apartment. We were fucking hardcore into like following the Titans back then. They played the Packers, came to Nissan Stadium,
right?
And I said, fuck it. I don't remember what the spread was, probably like 5.5 or something. And I was like, Green Bay's going to cover that all day. And I hammered it. Like, you know, it wasn't that big. It was like 300 or 400. But, I mean, it's pretty big still. It's
big enough.
And then I can't even be happy. Part of me was happy. It was almost like, I think my head was happy, but my heart wasn't. You know what I mean? It's like, fuck. Or maybe the opposite. I don't know.
Right.
And the same feeling, it's a very specific feeling that I can't explain. It's like, I'm happy and sad at the same time. I want to fucking kill myself.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I feel like in the regular season, depending on what's going on, I would much rather be happy within the bet than the team winning. But if it had something to do with possibly the Titans not making the playoffs, it would kind of be like, fuck. Like, there's no way I would bet on Houston this week. Like, I plan on going to the game this Sunday. There's no way I would bet on Houston in that situation, knowing that the Titans need to win that game. This might be the most important game of the year.
We should definitely make this the sports podcast, because that's all we talked about.
We've been talking about gambling the whole time. I don't know how we got here. We started talking about a beach, and then we got to gambling.
We
got to
make a decision now. Is this the sports one, or is this the regular one?
Well, if we're going to talk about the sports, then we got to talk about the slate.
No, make this the regular one.
Yeah, but that's just kind of how that goes. All right, let's go away from that. We're about to go to an open mic.
Yeah, I'm finna go up. Dude, I've been up 4 times this past week.
Yeah.
On different stages.
It's crazy that you've been 4 times.
Well, if you asked anybody, here's the thing. There's a whole fucking community of people doing this shit in Nashville, and it's awesome, dude. Every single night, besides, you know, Saturday and Sunday, there's an open mic, and there's multiple ones on some nights. So it's not really that like unheard of to go up that many times. Actually, it's expected of you if you actually want to be good at doing this shit. And so I'm trying to do at least 4 a week. This will be, we're starting over because I'm counting Thursday nights in my 4. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I'm trying to, so tonight we're going to, what is it?
Comedy Bar?
It's the Comedy Bar. It's on 3rd Avenue, downtown Nashville. It's pretty cool. Hosted by Chance Willie. He, when I went to see Ari Shaffir, he actually opened up for, or he didn't open. He, hosted the show. So he came out, did it like 10 minutes.
Right.
Brought up the middle act and then came back out and brought up Ari. Which is really cool, dude, because I remember, like, I started doing it back in, like, 2017, but I didn't stick with it.
Right.
But back then, he was, like, newer, you know what I mean? And he's worked hard ever since then, going up 4-6 times a week.
Damn.
And has, you know, now he's going to Zany's and shit. It's pretty cool. Anyway, he's hosting tonight's show. And then Monday, where did I go Monday night? Let's see. Monday night, I went to... Fuck, dude. I'll tell you. Hold on 1 second. You should do a music or something. Sing a little song. Dude, you got to go. Like, if you're interested in stand-up at all on the Nashville scene, go to nashvillestandup.com. They got all the shows and shit. But, okay, on Monday night, I did 2. So, I'm driving Uber, right? I quit my fucking accounting job. It's bullshit-ass shit.
Yeah.
So, now I'm driving Uber, doing this UPS job that's going to end any day.
Right,
and then seasonal, I'll just be doing Uber and doing open mic. So I went downtown. I drove around Uber. 7 p.m. went to Sweet Release open mic at Springwater. That show, dude, every single person there bombed. And it's this little tiny ass. It's supposedly the oldest bar in Nashville.
Oh, shit.
Sweet.
What's that name?
Springwater.
Springwater.
It's over by Vanderbilt. It's right next to Vanderbilt, just in the middle of nowhere. Not in the middle of nowhere. It's in the middle of town.
Right.
All these big, huge buildings. And then this place is about as big as your apartment, maybe twice this size. It's tiny.
Right.
In this little room. And I go in there, and I'm going to be so embarrassed if people start, like, from this world, start listening to this podcast, because I've already had people come up to me and ask, you know, like, just trying to get to know me, and I've told them about it, so yeah. I feel weird talking about it, but, like, when I went in there, I literally knew every single person in the room. It's all the, like, people that are doing something with comedy, you know what I mean? It's, like, Connor Larson, but I'm not going to name everybody, but a bunch of people that I knew who they were, and they clearly had no clue who the fuck I was. They were looking at me like, who's this fucking weird guy in the corner, you know?
Right.
Everyone bombed. No one really got a single laugh the whole night. It was terrible. And I was like, oh, fuck, dude. This one, I'm going to go there again. But then later on that night, what day was that? That was Monday. Oh, and then at 10, they got this thing called Roast the Host at Third Coast Comedy. And that show is awesome as fuck. It's hosted by this dude, Sean Parrott. If you go on Spotify, you can listen to his, like, album or whatever on Spotify. It's called...
Is it a stand-up album?
Yeah, he's fucking hilarious, dude. It's called Tang Tang Ring Ding. You just gotta listen to it, man. I love it. But he hosts that show. And what's weird about open mics is that... Like that Springwater show, almost every single person at the show was gonna go on stage.
Right.
That's one of the reasons why everyone bombed, because we're all there just trying to go up on stage and practice our shit. So I might be in my own head thinking about what I'm gonna say, and I'm not really listening to what you're saying. So when you hit your punchline and no one reacts, it's not that they go, oh, boo, that sucks. Right, it's that they're not even fucking worried about you on stage. This show, the Third Coast Comedy Show, there's a lot of people in the crowd who are just there to hang out. It's a comedy bar. You know what I mean? They got all these craft beers, all these, like, hipster, you know, type of people are in there. And so they called me up first, dude. I've never gone first. And I didn't even want to go up. So in that show, you put your name in. There's so many people, way more people than get to go up.
Right.
They draw them, like, out of a hat or whatever they do. And they go, all right, I'm going to read out the order of the way people are going. First, Steven Angel. I was like, fuck, I don't want to even go up. I was hoping I would get out of it, you know? But I went up there, and I did okay. Actually, I'll say I did better than I've ever done ever, you know? Which, it's not like I killed or anything. People were laughing.
Yeah.
And then 2 nights ago, then I went to The fuck is it? Two nights ago, I went to the Ultimate Comedy open mic at the East Room. And that one's cool, too. That room is really fucking cool. They got, once again, Sean Parrott's playing guitar. This hippie-ass dude plays the drums. And so they play everybody on and off stage. It feels legit as fuck. There's a fucking upper balcony.
Oh, shit.
And that's another one where there's, like, commoners off the street who aren't going up.
Yeah.
And so you get laughs there again, you know. And it's really fucking fun. But that's what I'm about to be trying to... And that's why, like, and that's why... The podcast hasn't been coming out on a consistent basis
because
Tuesday is when we usually always record. Right. And now Tuesday is when I have to go.
Right.
Because the East Room is like probably my favorite open mic to do.
Right.
And Thursdays, you're off Tuesdays and Thursdays. Right. Thursday is tonight. And Thursday is the Comedy Bar, which is another good show.
Right. It just happened to line up tonight. Usually on Thursdays, I usually watch Thursday Night Football with the ladies, so it kind of makes it tough too. But we're going to do our best again. We try to get it out on Thursdays. But everything kind of ends up connecting. Like, if obviously, it would be priorities kind of have to line up because, obviously, if you're able to get in a position to where you can get your name out when it comes to the comedy scene in Nashville and a lot more people get to hear it, and then next thing you know, it's like, oh, yeah, man, like, hey, listen, like, we do this thing, like, up here, like, come to St. Louis and, like, do this, blah, 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 another. It's a fun opportunity, and it's a I think that it's one of those deals where I think it's more difficult than people realize when it comes to than it actually comes to when it comes to doing comedy, getting in front of all those people and performing and having your whole reputation depend on how well you can perform in front of people and not even knowing how long you're going to go on some of them. But like, you're talking about how you spend it well, and you don't know if it's going to be 4, 3, 2, 1 minute long. And then like, you got to get up there and you have to deliver like just fire the whole time. And if you don't, then it's off. And you really haven't had a whole lot of time to kind of practice how you want to deliver certain jokes, how you want to like have your material come across. And to be able to kind of get up in front of people and do that, I mean, that's a testament to like to your nerves and your steel and how much you really want to do it. Because I don't think it's not made for a lot of people. It's just not I think myself personally, whenever I have normal conversations with a lot of people, I can be funny as fuck. But right. To get up in front of a lot of people and be able to still deliver that same kind of charisma that I have. I think would be extremely hard for me to do. I think it would take me a long time of like doing like regular public speaking. Like if I got in front of people and I just delivered a speech that was written and I did it like over and over and over and over, it would take me like a year or so before I'd be able to get up in front of people and be like, okay, I want to deliver a joke that I came up with.
That's why I want to go on stage so many times. Right now, there's two aspects to it, but right now, the main thing I'm trying to do is get comfortable being on stage in front of everybody.
Right.
And, like, get in the pocket while I'm up there.
Right.
That's what I've noticed. So I've been able to go up 4 times this past week. And on that 3rd and 4th time, it was like I finally got over the initial, oh, God, there's everybody looking at me.
Right.
But the thing is that I also notice is you have to write. Like, I've not spent enough time sitting down and actually just writing jokes. And you got to fucking do that. And you got to listen to what you said last time and make it better this time. And so that's why I'm trying to really dedicate some time to doing it. But this whole first year for me, because I mean, I just started maybe a month ago. I went on stage 3 or 4 times and then I stopped for a couple of weeks while I quit my job and just started this other job. But now it's like I'm starting a fresh thing. And this whole year, I just want to get comfortable in this environment. Going on the stage, I want to go up 4 times a week for a year. You know what I'm saying? And then after that, hopefully I can reevaluate and go, okay, now let's fucking get it, you know? But I got to get comfortable. Because you're right. I mean, it's public speaking is almost everyone's biggest fear.
It's hard, man. It's really hard. So, like, so obviously I'm a restaurant general manager, so I've been talking to people my whole life. But even whenever I give speeches, like, I used to give speeches to my staff, and I'd stand up on, like, a table or I'd stand up on a bar and I'd give a speech. And I feel like even doing that, I catch myself trying to talk in like a
different voice.
Yeah, like it's a different voice and it's a different like flow of how I'm trying to have a conversation. And I think most comedians that I feel the most comfortable with that are really good can go up in front of a stage, will go up on stage in front of people, and they can have a conversation that sounds like a conversation with people, right. And it doesn't sound like they're trying to, like,
going, hi,
yeah,
my name's Steven, yeah, and I'm gonna tell you some jokes tonight,
right? They're not trying to go up there with all that bullshit, and they're not trying to leave. Like, when we do a podcast, like, it's really easy for me to be like, we'll keep bringing it, you'll keep listening, like, right. That's easy, but like, being able to kind of go up there and sound like you're having a conversation and get an emotional connection with the audience that you have. And to be able to kind of read that audience to see if what you're doing is working or not. And then go back to the lab, rewrite some shit, and then come back to the same people that you may run into the week after. Because a lot of the people that go to X&M probably come
every week. Here's the thing. I've seen – it's funny because I did like 1 week at several different shows. Mm-hmm. And I saw some of the same people – at every one, but then and now I'm gonna start learning which people go to which thing.
Right.
But the thing is I honestly, there's a part of me, and I swear to God, I can't believe I'm talking about this because it's gonna be to me probably embarrassing if these people listen to this podcast ever. I don't think they will, but if they did, I'd be like, it's a little embarrassing. But there's a part of me that wants acceptance from this group of people, like socially as peers, you know what I mean? Yep. I haven't really made an effort to really talk to these people because I'm like, I'm not part of you yet. You know what I mean? Yep. I got to come around more often and show that I'm going to be in this community before I expect you to really give a shit about me. You know what I mean? Right. But as far as their laughter, I honestly could care less if the other comics laugh at my jokes because they're not going to be in the crowd. You know what I'm saying? Like, all this open mic shit is to work on material so that you can perform. And they're not going to be the ones you're trying to make laugh. And they've heard about every fucking joke you could ever think of.
Mm-hmm.
So it's harder to make them laugh, you know?
Right.
That's why I'm saying these other rooms where there's other people, it's easier to make them laugh because they don't sit there for 10 hours a week listening to 20 comics a night. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't care. If they don't laugh, no big deal. They don't give a they're not going to remember my set tonight when they go to bed, you know? But anyway, that's it. That's what we're doing tonight. We went way off on a tangent, but it's going to be exciting. You know, check out my Snapchat. Hell, Sam might film it.
We'll have content out around it. Hell, I might try to record it and then might try to...
Here's the thing.
I might try to edit it up to make it...
yeah, but it's going to be funny, though.
Yeah, I might try
to... It ain't funny.
Yeah, I might try to edit it up to make some content out of it. We'll see how everything goes.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, dude. I kind of didn't... When you were like... Yeah, I might try to go out there with you tomorrow night. My initial thing was like, nah, dude. I'm not good.
I thought about that. Because even like the lady was like, oh, I'm jealous. I don't get to go. And I'm like, I don't know if he's actually ready for us to go or not. The only reason I said it because I was like, well, I mean, if you're not doing anything, I'm not doing anything. Maybe
that's
maybe
the only reason why I was cool with you going. Because it's like, number one, it's like, you're my best friend.
Yeah.
We do a podcast so we can do this and then go out there together. Right. But... if it weren't for those two things, I'd be like, fuck no. Like, if any of my other friends wanted to go, I'd be like, just wait until some other day. Like, my dad tried to be supportive. Nah, because here's the thing, it was funny.
Right.
You know, me and Will Scruggs used to play music together.
Right.
And we played in Tootsie's downtown and all this shit. My dad never came because he was, like, preaching. He was like, it's sinful to go out there to those bars. You know, and he never came and supported us.
Right.
And now he feels bad about that, right? He's like, I'm so sorry, Steven, that I didn't support y'all and all that. And so now when I first told him, like the very first time, I was like, hey, I'm going to do this. He's like, oh, can I go? You know, I want to go. I was like, no, dude, you can't.
Right.
Because you're going to watch me get mortified up there.
Yeah.
Because, dude, I'll tell you, that spring water thing or whatever I did, it was hurtful.
No, you're up there,
you think something's about to be funny, right. And you kind of write these jokes expecting a laugh at a certain point,
right.
And then it don't come, and you don't know what to do.
Yeah, you just gotta keep rolling.
All right, well, I'll go fuck myself on that one. You know?
Like that. I think that's the hardest part about it because you're expecting something, and then when you don't get it, what do you do? Like
your pride. But see, that's why I want to. I don't know if they can hear me. That's why I want to go up so many times is so I can get numb to that.
Right.
So where that don't affect me anymore. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
And I'll be honest, it affects me right now.
Yeah, of course. I feel like that would affect anybody when it comes down to that kind of stuff, that'd be like a, I mean, let's just go ahead and, it's a bad credit podcast, so I can say it. That'd be similar to like a porn star finally getting into the porn game because somebody said they should do it, and then them getting into the porn game and not being able to get it up. Like, it's very similar to that. Like, you just get there and you're like, oh, well, like, well, this doesn't happen to me often. Like, well, motherfucker, you're on film now. Like, but take that and actually translate that and being when they start filming, it's live and you got a million people watching. You're
you know what's so crazy about them is they got a nut on time. They're like, all right, we're gonna need you bust a nut all over her face. Yep. And it's like
they tell you exactly when you gotta do it. You gotta be able,
and these dudes can you gotta be able to number one hold it and don't nut.
Right.
And then you got to turn around and be able to do it on demand.
On demand.
So that's crazy. I mean, these guys, like, holding it back.
These might be some of the most talented motherfuckers on the planet.
You know, that one dude with the long hair that's down to here. Oh. He's in all the stepson shit and stepbrothers.
I can't think of that.
Man, he's the best step person there is.
I know who you're thinking of.
He's out here fucking, boy, that blonde hair. Oh, I would never know his name.
Yeah. But
he just ends up being in a lot of the family shit. Right. That's kind of my deal, you know?
I mean, that's hard to do. Like, I mean, think about the fact that these motherfuckers are able to kind of, like, do stuff. Like, they got, obviously, they get pre-fluffed before the scene, so they already get, so, like, they
what
have
do people, you think that can really consist of?
I'm assuming, I don't know, maybe just, like, a little blowjob or something. Like, I don't know.
See, there's girls out there who get paid, like, $20 an hour to just give an occasional blow, like not even to finish.
To get them ready for the scene. To get them ready for the scene. I don't know. I don't think fluffers are around as much as people think so anymore. Because like, because
why wouldn't the actress just do that?
That I think that is happening a lot more. Like I'm pretty sure I've seen like I've heard of some scenes where there's like oh behind the scenes and like the actor and actress are already like fucking before they do their scene.
Oh yeah.
Just to kind of like get ready for it. But I think that would just be kind of difficult. Like.
Weird life, huh?
It's a wild life. Like, you have to be, like, especially because some of these girls, like, physically look, like, flawless. So, it makes it kind of difficult. But it has
a lot of them, though, their pussies are all fucked up.
Yes, yeah. So, like, So, it has to, that's what I'm saying. There has to be something to it to where it's just kind of like, all right, motherfucker, like, it's going to be really hard for me to get off because I feel like I'm just, like,
I'm fucking a bowl of Arby's.
Yeah, like, oh, I'm fucking throwing my damn hot dog through the hallway. Like, it ain't happening, bro. Like,
dude, that is a weird thing about porn is that I would say, 80% of them are just, you know, real hot. Well, I ain't going to say 80% of them are real hot, but let's just take out the really hot ones. 80% of them, everything's just normal. You know what I mean? But then you'll get, like, this real hot chick with just the most wrecked vagina you've ever seen in your life. I mean, it's turning black, and, you know, and it's a white girl.
I don't know about turning black.
No, dude, there's a specific genre of these chicks. It's turning black and falling out. It's like, when are they going to go ahead and pull the rest of that thing out? Yeah. And get rid of it, you know what I mean? Yeah.
But, I mean, shout out to...
Wait. Oh God!
I don't know where I can actually go with that, but shout out to the vaginas because the fact that they can get the pounding that they take and still be able to bounce back, like it's insane. Like I get that vaginas.
What do you mean by bounce back? Listen, exactly.
I get that vaginas are insane anyway because they can push a baby out and you can still be able to fuck it and still be able to feel it. But the fact that some of these motherfuckers are able to take, like, I mean, there's been stuff where, like, girls are stuck in the type of things up your vagina where, like, you don't think it should be able to.
When dudes put fists?
You shouldn't be able to reconstruct. But the fact that thing still tries to tighten back up is wild to me.
Well, here's the thing. There's no dick in the world as big as a fucking baby's head. And that shit comes out.
That's a fact.
That's crazy.
The fact that it still like heals from that. I know the human body heals from like everything, and it's like made to heal, unless you get shot in the fucking head. But like, I think that's a wild that thing can like constricts Like, yeah, constrict. That's insane, bro.
Dude, like, it's weird to me that the way you make other people is by sticking a fucking...
By pissing in assholes?
Yeah. By sticking a tube of fucking blood into a girl and squirting a juice in there, and then it just goes in there, and then
makes
whatever the fuck happens for 9 months. Yep. It's like a factory of DNA's. Little tiny microscopic people going, all right, let's get the head cells and let's gather them up together.
I used to work at Nissan, and it would seat would start from just a piece of metal, and we would.
I remember when you worked there. That's when we were living together. Yeah.
We just constricted as it went, and I was a quality inspector. Constructed as it went, and then I was a quality inspector, so I would inspect it to make sure that there was no scars and no wrinkles, and if there was a scar or wrinkle, I'd send it back. And I feel like that's what happened with humans. Like, when your sperm goes in there, it's like, nope, this one won't work. And they send it out. Yeah. And it just
and that's happened a lot with both of us. Huh?
But, I mean, that would be one of those things where I feel like what happens whenever, like, you're having a kid, and they're like, oh, this one's good. Send it to the uterus. Like, I feel like that's how it works.
Hey, go down there and talk to Larry in the uterus. He'll tell you what to do.
He's going to green light one out of, like, a one. Not like. Yet. One out of like 20,000 sperm cells gets a green light. Like,
I'm here for the job to make a baby. We're gonna have to do a background check.
Yeah, and then you got that one girl that's on birth control that just got like a million Debos. Like, nope.
No, it's like when it's like trying to show up to fucking Area 51 and go in. Oh, never mind.
Sorry. Yeah, right. They just get fucking blasted. Like, and then that Mr. 1% that just like fucking looks like Lamar Jackson juking out a fucking bingo or some shit.
Dude, you know what's so fucking crazy? I wish I had some weed right now to make me really think about this. Oh, but
shit, it might be too deep.
Life happens on every level, dude. You can go up. Like, we're just on the base level of human existence. But you can go up, and it's the universe and all that fucking shit. All
right.
Or you can go down. But it all exists proportionately the same way, but if you think about the atomic theory, right, we're all just made of atoms.
Right.
So if you go all the way down to the sperm level, and like we're really talking about making another human, there has to be a level of consciousness in that process. It's not just like it randomly happens, and the first level of consciousness that appears is the human experience. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
Before that, there is intelligent design going on. So there's an entire life of, you know, how we go to work every day. Like, I get up, I go to work, I fucking eat breakfast, I do all this shit, and that's part of my day.
Right.
And that's one day. But over my whole course of life, I'm accomplishing some long-term goal, right? Like, maybe I either make a bunch more humans or, you know, pollute the earth. So I'm a form of cancer for the larger scale of earth, you know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
But in that... For Earth, that's more like over a 1 month period, I developed cancer, you know?
Right.
And that was Stephen Angel's whole life.
Right.
The further you zoom up, the shorter our lifespan is, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, the further you go down, that process of a 9 month generating a baby, that system, that might be like a 70-year period for them, you know? Like, we spent our whole lives making Sam Hicks in this uterus, dude, and we're proud of it. Go on, Bubba, and then they die, you know?
Right.
Does that make any sense what I'm saying?
I think you're talking about if you zoomed in, like how they do like Google Earth from the outside and zoom in to one person, like...
And you slow the time-lapse down, because it's like, if you watch bacteria, like you watch... those Clorox commercials or whatever, they're showing bacteria develop.
Right.
It's like, real fast, like it happened over, 5 seconds. Really, slow it down on their level, because the theory of relativity, right? The faster you're moving, the slower everything's happening to you.
Right.
So it's like, if you're really small, it appears that you're moving super, super, super fast, right?
Yeah.
But if you're that small, that's your normal speed.
Yeah.
So it just looks like everything above you is moving real slow.
Right.
Like our universe, it seems like the sun took billions and billions of years to come about. But the sun's still probably like 8 a.m. on its first day.
Right.
Like, oh, fuck, I got to get out of bed, dude.
Right. Even though it's about to fucking burn out, you know?
Yeah, in another 14.5 billion years. But it's like, that'll be 6 p.m. this afternoon for him, you know?
Right.
Oh, I'm going to have to die tonight.
I mean, I would probably say, you know, we got maybe like fucking 100 years, but Yeah, no, I definitely understand what you're saying, but yeah, that's what I think about. If anybody's if you've never seen it, Google like Google Earth zoom in or something like Google, I don't know Google what Earth. I don't know what it's called, but like you'll see one where it like zooms in, and like it zooms all the way in from like the I think there's one where it zooms in from the like from like the solar system, and then it goes into the Earth, and it zooms in to like a country, and then it zooms in to like a state, city, and then there's like originally, like it finally ends up to one person that just like, and they're like waving at the fucking satellite, which is fucking weird. Anyway.
That's resolution, bro.
But yeah, that's weird enough anyway. But I'm assuming if you could zoom in onto like our smallest cell that we possibly have, which would probably be like a cell inside of our DNA, like it would just be like, I made you like.
Well, actually. DNA is smaller than cells.
Well, then there you go.
But atoms are smaller, I think, than DNA. But atoms have subparts, subparticles, and that's called quantum theory. You know something can exist and not exist at the same time? No. Or one single particle can exist in two places at once?
Are we going to get too deep for the people that listen to this? That's
what just happened. It's called quantum theory. Look it
up. Quantum theory. Look it up. We never studied that in school. That's why we fucking left.
Yeah, I went to college, though.
Yeah, I went for a little bit.
What else are we going to talk about? Bad Credit Podcast. Thank you for listening. Go to badcreditpodcast.com. Go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. Leave a comment and subscribe. I don't know what else to talk about.
I don't know anything else about either. Christmas doesn't seem like Christmas this year. It's coming way too fast.
Christmas never seemed like Christmas.
No, it just seems like it's coming way too fast. I don't see a lot of holiday shit going on. Like, it's just flying by.
Dude, ever since I became an adult, I have given zero fucks about Christmas.
It's weird, huh?
It's just fucking, without the magic of Santa Claus and all that bullshit, I feel like unless you, I just don't give a fuck about it. I feel
like
after
you pass, like, 28, if you don't have a kid, you don't give a shit about Christmas.
I think after you pass 14, if you don't give a kid. No, that's when I stopped giving a fuck about Christmas.
No, it's past that. I would say at least 25.
That's for you, dude. I'm telling you, I've never given a fuck about Christmas. Since I learned Santa Claus was not real. And then a little beyond that, because my parents still spoiled the fuck out of me. That's part of growing up in white privilege, you know?
Right.
It was awesome, and then when it wasn't, who gives a fuck anymore about Christmas?
Right.
I should be trying to make it awesome for other people, but I don't have kids.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I'm just ready for it to be over here's one thing, though. I have a job right now delivering packages because of this whole Christmas shit. Right. So I am happy about that. But other than that, man, it's annoying. I hate Christmas music. I hate all these stupid fucking commercials on TV. It's just terrible, man. It's just dumb. But it looks like you guys you're celebrating it pretty hard up in here.
Yeah, I mean, my house is decked out. Like,
shout out to your
shut the fuck up. Like, I had to fucking, you know how much, like, I had to help do all the work on that Christmas tree right there.
But that would be fun. Like, if your girlfriend was really into it, y'all could make a day and it's like, ooh, this is sweet and cute. And, like, that's fun. But I just don't have that.
I guess. I mean, the only part that's really important about Christmas is the gifts. Buying the gifts that she's gonna get's more important than her having a fucking tree. That tree's real. I had to buy a real
tree. That's not real.
Yes, it's a real fucking tree.
It looks fake.
I went to Home Depot. We bought the fucking tree. We got it sawed down.
You bought a real tree at Home Depot?
Yes.
It was already dead?
No, it's a real tree. It's a
growing at still home. Alive. It was growing it's at still Home alive. Depot.
They cut so you have to keep it watered. So we have it watered. I had it tied on top of the roof of the car. I tied the fucking door shut. So we had to, I had to fucking cut them and climb through the back seat to get in the fucking car. Like, there's so much shit that you have to go through on Christmas. Like, dude, fuck that's that. Kinda
evil, dude. That's like keeping somebody alive on a fucking machine, you know, when they would be dead without technology.
It's not the same with plants.
It is the same. They have a fucking central nervous system. They can think.
Yes. No, they can't think.
They dream. Trees dream.
Trees do not dream.
They dream. Look it up.
That tree will be dead by the fucking first
year.
And
he hears you, and the poor guy, he's, hey, I love you, dude.
Well, obviously, I love you too, motherfucker. I bought you, hell.
He could have been in the forest growing up to be a human. That's like a
growing up to be infant. A human. No, false.
No, not a human. growing up to be an adult tree, a huge tree with big branches, Instead, it's just the fucking little toddler over in the corner sitting.
Yeah, but
think about if they had a human.
Yeah.
No. Look, a human 18-month-old baby.
That's not the same.
With a fucking tube into it. Yeah, we feed it nutrients. As long as it gets its fucking nutrients through its jugular tube, it's all right. Yeah, look, it cries just like a real baby. It's still alive in the damn.
Do you see? I wish we had fucking video so bad. If you see this tree drips so fucking hard.
Drips don't stand too close. Stand too close. They don't fucking run and drown out this way. Yeah,
right. Bloop, bloop, bloop. Right. Bloop, bloop, bloop. Got the crippled lights. Got the presents underneath it. It got paid. I mean, that thing is late.
I just think it's evil, dude. Christmas is evil.
I didn't say that. I didn't say it's not, but...
America's evil, hell.
It is what it is. That's what we do. I mean, I don't know. Like, there's a lot that goes into it. Christmas is expensive. People like it. Whatever. I'm just under the influence of where it just gets to the point to where there's just so much that goes into the holiday after you get past a certain point that it makes it tough. If you have kids, yes, I think you should have to go all out. If you don't, I feel like it's just one of those things.
I'll tell you what. We're not having kids. Me and the old lady decided.
Right.
But if I did, they wouldn't believe in no damn Santa Claus. I'll tell you what. By God, I work for these presents. And your daddy paid for them motherfuckers. Ain't no fucking fat ass motherfucker coming our house. We ain't got a chimney.
So obviously, you know, I used to be Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah.
And so you joked about that before in front of Jill. When we were putting the lights on the
tree.
When we were putting the lights on the tree, I said something else about it. She thought we were joking.
Oh, she thought I was joking.
She thought we were both.
You mean it's never come up the way you grew up religiously?
No.
Man, y'all are real close, huh?
But nobody cares about that shit. So like the thing is I was like, no, like he wasn't joking, like I really wish I was witness. So like we had to talk about it, whatever.
She thought
we were joking the whole time. I was like, no, like I'm actually Jehovah's Witness. Like I actually was Jehovah's Witness. I was like, that's not funny. A joke. So like that was funny to me that she thought the whole time we were joking about this. Like who jokes about religion?
But the way we are, you cannot take us seriously sometimes. Even though if we're being serious.
That's true.
What did y'all talk about?
Nothing. I was just like, no, we weren't joking. Like,
oh, it just was like, oh,
because I was telling how like I never had like a real tree or whatever. Like,
this
I
is mean, the first time.
Granted, when I was married, like we had a fake one. Like I didn't have a real one.
I don't think I've ever had a real tree. My grandma sometimes would have a real tree at her house. You know my grandma now at her house, there's literally a Christmas room where the tree has been up since like 2000 and probably 2001 or something. Never taken down. None of the decorations have ever been taken down. For like longer than probably...
It's a fake Christmas tree?
Yeah. But it's been up and the lights have been on it. And all the stockings and shit have always been up in that room. No one uses it.
It's a Christmas room?
There's
in your grandma's house?
And we have one day a year, Christmas
I've never
Eve.
Been to your grandma's house, which is bananas.
Yeah, it is bananas. It is bananas.
But it's crazy. But, like, that's wild. A Christmas room?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
No, dude, so I'm she scared. She uses the same one every year?
Yeah. The same everything in there.
Every year she just lights it up.
Yeah. No, you just turn the light on. Everything's ready to go.
What the fuck?
It's never...
Not. I think part of me thinks that that's bananas, but part of me thinks that that's genius. Like, because you had a room...
Yeah, take all the time.
If you had a room where you could just flip a switch, fucking let's go.
Nobody... The only time people go in there are other holidays, like Thanksgiving, Easter, and all that. Like, the kids will go in there and play the piano that's right. Way out of fucking tune. You know what I mean? It's been in there since 19.
Look at this cool guy on his fucking motorcycle.
Oh, that dude's so cool. It's cold out there, you stupid piece of shit.
Jesus.
Hope he wrecks.
Jesus. These people
but
are so
I hope it don't hurt him. Hope it just breaks his motorcycle.
These people are so entitled in this fucking complex. But, that's wild. A Christmas room. I never heard. A music room I've seen. I've seen a game room. I've seen like I'm going to have a man cave whenever I finally actually get a place that I can have one. But. Christmas room is bananas. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well,
we're done with them, bro. We got to go into the sports. We're done. Check out Bad Credit.
this episode. I don't know what episode we're on, but we're out here.
Email us, badcredit615@gmail.com. Check us out on Twitter, @badcredit615. Check me out, @dgen4rails.
Check me out, @samhicks615. I'll be talking about your gambling needs if you're in the gambling. Let's go. This is what we do. We're going to go on to our next podcast. Make sure you check that out, the Bad Credit Sports Podcast.
You know what's funny is that that one will probably hit first.
Yep. So check that podcast out. If you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it since it's going to come out after that. We need to get to that because we're going to the Comedy Barn tonight in Nashville. If you're in Nashville, be sure to check that out.
Yeah. Goodbye, fucktards.
We'll keep bringing it. You'll keep listening.
Grah.